Chapter 14. Saturday, June 22, 1776. Life very uncertain. Seeming danger scattered thick around us, plots against the military, and it is whispered against the Senate. Let us prepare for the worst. We can die here but once. May all our business, all our purposes and pursuits tend to fit us for that important event. Letter of Congressional Delegate Abraham Clark to Elias Dayton. The next day, I carried a basket of eels from the fish market to Wall Street, thinking only of hot eel pie for supper. I had not eaten eel pie since Mama died, Miss Mary Finch not being fond of it. But Master Lockton enjoyed the dish, so fat eels weighed down my basket. I fervently hoped Becky would chop off their heads and strip off their skins. It made me go all jumbly in the belly to chop off heads. I entered the kitchen and set the basket on the table. Ruth hummed quietly to herself, shelling peas into a large wooden bowl, and Becky chopped kale. Madam walked in from the front hall, her hair half fallen out of her cap and stains of sweat under the arms of her dress. She crossed the room, peered out the back door, crossed her arms over her chest, and tapped her foot with impatience, then disappeared into the next room. "I require you, girl," she said. Becky looked at me, eyes wide and warning. "Ma'am?" I asked. Madam came back into the kitchen carrying a silver tray. She shoved it into my arms. "You will serve your master and his companions." Becky slowly shook her head back and forth. "Are you sure, madam? That's what the master requested?" she asked slowly. "'Tis hard to interpret the ways of menfolk, them being so complex and all, but surely when he said, 'Let nothing disturb us,' that was indeed his true meaning." "Be quiet, Becky," Madam snapped. "You have the manners of a donkey and the voice of a goose." Becky said nothing more but chopped faster. Madam paced back and forth. "The mayor of New York is a supremely important man, could well be the next royal governor. It is hardly appropriate to welcome him into our home without offering refreshment." She turned to me. "You will not put one foot wrong." When the tray was loaded so heavily I could scarce lift it, Madam preceded me down the hall and waited by the closed door to the library. "Go on," she told me, without offering to help. I kicked at the door with my shoe and called out, "Wine, sir, and a bite to eat."
"Leave us,"
responded Lockton. Madam knocked on the door with a not terribly refined fist. "Come now, Elihu, show some graciousness." Deep voices in the room conferred. Then the door was unlocked and opened. Madam stepped toward the opening, but Lockton filled the frame.
"Thank you, dear," he said. "The girl can serve us. I'll send her to you if I am in need of anything more."
Madam tried to look beyond him to the distinguished guests, but could not see through the thick form of her husband.
"Very well," she said loudly. "I shall be composing a letter to our cousins in London, our cousins who are so well regarded by His Majesty."
"Excellent suggestion, dear."
He stepped out of the way so that I might enter. There were only two men besides Master Lockton, Gold Buttons, wearing a shabby waistcoat of black wool, and the third man, who I took to be the mayor. The mayor had on a fine wig, properly powdered and pulled back, with a curl at the end of his queue, a sable coat and matching breeches, a maroon waistcoat, and a white silk cravat tied loosely round his neck atop his shirt. The windows were all closed, but sun streamed in, heating up the room to a slow simmer and bringing forth a ripe stink of underwashed gentlemen. A broad, brightly colored map of the coastline was spread on the master's desk, weighted at each end by a heavy book. Lockton removed one of the books, and the map curled up on itself, clearing the desk for the plate of Gloucester cheese and rye bread and the bowl of strawberries I set there.
"My most sincere apologies for the interruption," Lockton said.
He took a glass of wine from me.
"Pray, sir, continue."
Gold Buttons took a hasty bite of cheese before speaking.
"It has proved more difficult to bribe the patriots to change sides than we anticipated. Those who are fed up with the situation prefer to melt out of the city and walk home to Massachusetts or North Carolina."
I removed the serving tray and retreated to my corner. The horses in the painting still leapt the fence. I fought the temptation to reach for The Adventures of Mr. Crusoe on the shelf. Instead, I centered my eyes and my feet and my thoughts upon a slice of eel pie.
They turned down the offer of hundreds of acres? Lockton said. The land offered by the king is distant from their farms.
Gold Buttons buttered a piece of bread.
My fellow reports they simply want peace and the chance to get in a good crop of wheat.
Idiots, said Lockton.
The news from Philadelphia is that Congress is close to declaring independence,
Gold Buttons continued. I fought the urge to yawn. The master and his friends could complain about the Continental Congress at such length, I feared my ears might drop off.
Lockton plucked a strawberry from the bowl and pulled the leaves from it. And Admiral Howe continues to delay the invasion. It's maddening. The Crown must smash this rebellion into dust so we can return to our former lives with a sense of order.
And higher profits, Gold Buttons added.
If Madam only knew how dull these gatherings were, she would not have been so anxious to barge her way in. I would have happily chopped off the heads of a barrel full of eels to escape another afternoon trapped with men whose voices droned on and on and on like rumbling, dusty grindstones.